The Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called the Synoptic Gospels. It's a Greek word that literally means to see together, because these three Gospels all present the life of Christ in a very common structure with very similar language. And it's these three Gospels that we, for the most part, hear on Sundays. There's a three-year cycle of Sunday readings, and each year we hear from Matthew and then from Mark, and this year we're in year C where we hear from Luke. Which means that often in the Sunday readings we hear the same stories from the life of Christ again and again, year after year, and it sounds very similar even though they're from different gospel accounts because of the similarities of these three gospels. But today presents an exception. Today we have a gospel passage that's found only in the Gospel of Luke, this parable of the Good Samaritan. We only hear it about once every 3 years on Sunday. It's a beautiful opportunity then to reflect deeply on this particular gospel and to ask, what is our Lord desiring to teach us through this gospel? And the point really is quite simple. He's teaching this scholar of the law and all of us by extension, who is included in the term neighbor? And so he makes the hero of the story a Samaritan. That's very significant. In the Gospel of John, we hear these words, Jews use nothing in common with Samaritans. Our Lord's point, in other words, is that to be his disciple means to see everyone, even our enemies, even those with whom we seem to have nothing in common, as our neighbor. We could say that with this parable, Jesus is really illustrating something that he makes very explicit in his Sermon on the Mount when he says, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your heavenly Father, for he makes his sun rise on the bad and the good, and causes rain to fall on the just and the unjust." You know, division is one of the ugly fruits of the original sin of Adam and Eve. When you read the creation account in Genesis, you see that in the beginning, there's this beautiful harmony in the world. But very quickly, after the sin of our first parents, that harmony is shattered. And there's all this disorder and tension and division. Sadly, it's a reality in this fallen world in which you and I live. And it's interesting that Christ, when he came to us, he didn't come into the world, snap his fingers, and just do away with all of these consequences of sin. No, instead, he came into our world and he taught us by his word and by his example how to live holy, godly lives in this fallen world. And then he died and rose again in order to open the way to heaven, which is where all of the consequences of sin and sin itself will be destroyed. And that perfect harmony and union will be restored. And we can learn from today's gospel something very important about how to live then in the midst of this fallen world and the divisions that mark it. Notice, first of all, that in this exchange with the scholar of the law, our Lord grounds him first in the truth. This scholar asks him, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus doesn't say, "Just follow your heart," or "If it feels good, do it." No, he points him to something very objective, outside of himself, that makes a claim on him. Jesus says, "What is written in the law?" There's nothing wishy-washy about Jesus and the truth. There's right and wrong. There is good and evil. Our first reading from the Old Testament invited us to reflect upon God's commandments as a gift. And how does our Lord respond when the scholar gives his answer? You have answered correctly. There's a right answer for Jesus. In other words, our Lord's solution to those things that divide is not to pretend that they don't exist or that they don't matter. Relativism doesn't work for him. No, he points the scholar of the law to the truth and affirms him when he answers correctly. But then, grounded in the truth, he makes the surprising move and invites this scholar of the law to find something good in his rival, the Samaritan, that one with whom he has nothing in common. It's as if he says to this man, look at the Samaritan. He may be wrong about some things. He may be wrong about many things. He may be far from perfect. But if you want to be my disciple, you have to learn to find the good in him. You have to be humble enough to learn something from him. That, my friends, is what it is to be a disciple of Jesus Christ in a fallen and divided world. It means being clear about the truth, receiving the truth from Christ through his church. We can't be relativists. We have to learn from scripture and tradition and from the church's magisterium what is true and what is false, what is good and what is evil. But we also have to learn to love, to relate to those who differ from us. We have to learn to find what is good in every other person, to spot elements of the truth that we know in the lives of those on the other side. We have to be humble enough to learn something from the Samaritan. And that's a hard way to live, especially in our time. There are so many forces in our day and age that encourage us to plant ourselves in one particular camp and then to treat the other side with bitterness in speech and sometimes even with physical violence in order to try to force them over to our side. But as disciples of Christ, we have to live differently. We have to live in a certain tension in which we root ourselves firmly in what is true, but we don't allow that then to lead us to relate to others with anything other than true charity. And that's hard. And that's why we need grace. That's why we need the gift that Christ offers us here in Holy Mass, in the other sacraments, and in our daily prayer. To live this way in our fallen world. There's a lot of chatter about the Supreme Court these days, isn't there? I think one of the most intriguing examples of this way of living came from two now deceased Supreme Court justices, Antonin Scalia and Ruth Bader Ginsburg. If you know anything about recent history of the court, you know that these two justices did not see eye to eye pretty much on anything. Their approach to their work as Supreme Court justices could not have been more different. Yet, interestingly, they had a very genuine friendship. I read that their families would even get together for New Year's Eve and to ring in the new year together, among other things. They were very different. One might even say they were enemies in some ways. But they also knew how to see the good in one another. They saw in each other a common love for our country and esteem for the Constitution. They'd be the first to admit that they had very different understandings of how to approach the Constitution, but it didn't keep them from seeing the good in the other and even learning from each other how better to serve our country. In our second reading today, St. Paul spoke about Jesus Christ as coming among us to reconcile all things, making peace, he says, by the blood of his cross. May we be instruments of that peace which Christ gives by learning from him how to live holy lives in this fallen world. Let's draw from his grace the strength that we need to do it. St. Patrick, pray for us.